phobia. I think she's Ed phobia. Like, it's not the water, it's the one dipping me. Father, because of your confession of faith and your willingness to obey Holy Scriptures, we're going to baptize you and plug your nose. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah! Amen. She went down hard. She stayed down. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Come on up here, Sherry. Praise God. Amen. Cool shirt.
Thanks.
You got a size that fit you?
Yep.
Yep. Extra small? Just kidding. Do you need life preserver for being in here? Don't worry. I won't let you drown. Amen. Sherry, God's just done a new work in you, just beginning to revitalize and restore and breathe new life into you. I sense that. There's a fire in you. I know that because I stalk your Facebook and I see. Listen. I see where there was once just not much, but now she doesn't miss an opportunity to declare the wonderful things of God. Hallelujah. That's hunger, church. That's something real. You know when it's Facebook, it's official, right? No. I mean, she's got a good heart, and God is going to use her and has used her, but I believe there's going to be a greater opportunity opening up to you in the recent future. I believe in the immediate future, something significant, an opportunity for you to minister and expand your boundaries and your borders for His glory is going to begin to happen. Pay attention. Let there be a sensitivity to this, Father, in Jesus' name. And Lord, that she would obey and walk in your direction. Hallelujah. Sherry, because of your confession of faith, are you a Christian?
Yes.
Amen. Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
Yes.
You believe He died on the cross?
Yes.
Rose again?
Yes.
And He did that because you needed judged, and He said, I'll be judged for you.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Amen. God, I thank you for that. I thank you for that testimony and that confession. Amen. All right, let's have a seat. Amen. Will those tattoos come off? We don't want them off. We're just kidding. Amen. Amen. Sherry, because of your confession of faith and your desire and willingness to obey Holy Scriptures, if I dunk you, it's going to go up your nose. You got to hold it.
Okay.
Because of your confession of faith and your desire and willingness to obey Holy Scriptures, we baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Your knee almost came up, but you got it down. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now this is Alfredo. Alfredo and Sherry are together, and you wanted, this is the only person you can find that's shorter than you, isn't it? That's what it was. I love you. This is a good man right here, and God's just doing a new work also in his life. Amen. Amen. God's just restoring and putting things back together, Alfredo. God is going to complete the work. Listen, the enemy wants to move in and begins to cause discouragement. He wants to begin to cause frustration, and your growth may not seem as quick as you want it to, but I want to tell you something. God is going to do a growth underneath. He's going to build something that may not be obvious to everyone else at first, but you're going to know there's going to be a sturdiness inside of you, and there's going to be commitment inside of you, and there's going to be a resistance to the things of this world inside of you that you haven't known before. Hallelujah. And soon, because of that, what's inside will begin to show outwardly, and your testimony will begin to speak to people. Lord, let him be hungry. Thank you for his hunger. Let him be in the Word. Thank you for putting him in the Word. And Father, we don't read the Word because we're guilty. We read the Word because we're hungry. We're hungry for your words. Lord, let that appetite be in him, which I believe it is, but grow it. Grow it. That appetite is stronger, and the cravings are stronger than anything of this world. The Word of God and the presence that you offer. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Hallelujah, amen. Are you ready, my brother? All right. I like your necklace, man.
I had to get it baptized.
What's that?
I had to get it baptized.
Oh, they want me to hold that? That's a request from family. You want to come over here? You can stand on his shoulders. Stand on his chest.
Hey.
Praise God. Who's that?
Mindy. Sister.
Oh, it's your sister? Hold her a little longer. I got you, dude.
Right.
We got to hold you on it. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for Alfredo. I love him. I love his spirit. I love his heart, man. Just such a gentleness in him, Father. And such an authentic nature he has, Father. I believe you're going to use that. Lord, because of your confession of faith and your willingness to obey Holy Scriptures, now make sure your nose legs go down. We baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Woo! Hallelujah! 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 Give the Lord a hand, church. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Love you, brother. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. Love you. Love you. Amen. Amen. God bless you this morning. Amen. His hair didn't even look like it got wet. Amen. Hey, will you give all the baptism candidates a hand, please? Hallelujah. You stand up. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Now, I'm gonna dedicate these two little boys right here. Amen. Amen. I'm going to dedicate these two little boys. If you haven't met them, you have, because they introduced themselves to you just about 20 minutes ago. All right.
Come here.
Jedediah. All right. And help me. Isaiah. Sorry, the prophet. Is this Isaiah?
Yes.
Isaiah the prophet. He would be the voice of a prophet. The loud voice of a prophet. Amen. We're going to pray for him a dedication, okay? So I want you guys to extend your hands to me as part of the church, part of the body of Christ. Amen. They may not know a lot what's going on, but we believe that God, through the Holy Spirit, can teach them what we can. Father, we dedicate these two boys to you, Father. Lord, in the culture that we live today, the enemy wants to take everyone out and wants to take young people out. So, Father, we pray a hedge of protection around these two young boys. We pray a hunger for the things of the Spirit. We pray a spirit of Caleb, a different spirit, Father, in the midst of a culture who doesn't care about God, who doesn't care about the things of God. Let these two boys stand out, Father. Let them be Daniels. Let them be Joshua's, God. Let them be those that you have called out from darkness and into a culture to lead them. Let the anointing of the Holy Spirit just begin to lead and guide them. Introduce themselves to them. In Jesus' name, we dedicate these lives to you and these hearts. In the name of Jesus. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, buddy. God bless you. God bless you. Love you guys. Love you. God bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
Join us for one more song. Yeah.
for hiding reasons away. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend. So I'll run to the Father again and again and again and again.
Do you ever get bored with your average day-to-day existence? Well, I sure do. Well, no, I should say that I did. And then, you know, I decided I should do something about that. Because, you know, conventional wisdom says that you live your life, you grow old, parents pass away, and then you get whatever that they left for you, your inheritance. No, I'm sorry, but that's just not good enough. I mean, come on. Give me all the money now so I can really go out and, like, enjoy it. So that's what I did. Walked up. Tried to my dad and said,
"Hey, Dad, I want what's coming to me, and I want it right now. This is what my youngest son said to me. I'm thinking, what's coming to me? I'll give him what's coming to him, all right. I mean, who's he think he is demanding things from me like that? But, you know, he's still my son, and a father's love goes without question, so I decided to give him what he wanted and let him search for a better life out there on his own. And it didn't take long, and man, the next thing I knew,
I was out of there. Kissed that boring old place goodbye. I mean, there was a whole world waiting for me to discover. So, the first thing I did was...
Magellan over here got lost. I mean, he had to stop 4 times for directions just to get out of town.
No, that's not true. It was 3 times. Okay, and one of those doesn't even count, because I couldn't understand what the one guy was trying to say to me, so I just nodded my head and left him. And besides that, the only reason I wasn't ever good with directions because someone never bothered to teach me.
Whatever.
Okay, it doesn't really matter. The point is, I did find my way out of that town, and then I began to live it up. I mean, I had it all. I had more friends than I knew what to do with, the best clothes somebody could buy, speaking of which, check out this. I mean, I was eating like a king, and, oh my goodness, the ladies, what can I say about them?
Here's what I can say about them. None of them were ladies. I mean, they may have been women, but they were definitely not ladies.
No, they were 2 ladies. Okay, well, I guess most of them. Let's see, there was Stacy, there's Nancy. Okay, well, I guess they weren't really ladies. There's Rebecca, there's Jessica. Okay, well, I guess you're right, none of them really were ladies.
As I was saying.
Oh, wait, hold on, there was Jasmine. Oh man, now she was a lady.
Yeah, a lady of the night.
Okay. Well, never mind. I guess none of them really were ladies. But I mean, the friends, the clothes, the food, man, that was awesome. Right until...
His money ran out. Right about the same time the whole country hit a recession.
I couldn't find any work. I mean, I tried. Honestly, I did, but I couldn't find anything. But I searched and searched. What do you know? Finally, I got a job as a manager.
That's not entirely true.
Okay, well, I guess I wasn't exactly a manager, but, I mean, I was still an associate.
Try that again.
Okay, well, I wasn't an associate per se, but I was a bacon preparation assistant.
Would you like to tell all these fine folks what that means?
I took care of pigs. Man, I could not believe my life had just come down to this. I mean, I wasted everything my father had given to me. I wasn't really making any money to speak of. I had no place to live. I had no food to eat. I mean, really, were they going to notice, like, one missing pig? They had, like, 400 of them. I mean, honestly, I guess realistically, I would have just eaten all the scraps I was giving to them. But I couldn't. They wouldn't let me. So, with hunger pains as a constant reminder of how I had to throw my life away, I lived a life of misery. Day after day.
And day after day, I watched and I waited, and I ached in my heart as only a parent for his child can do. But most importantly, I never gave up on him. I never gave up on the fact that I believed he would return.
And then one day, it hit me. And I realized that back at my father's house, his lowest worker was doing better than I was. I mean, they had a place to live. They had food either than like kings compared to me. And I started to wonder.
Well, what if he never comes to his senses? What if he doesn't come home? I mean, what am I going to do if I never see my son again?
And as I made the long journey back to my father's house, I couldn't really help but wonder what I was going to say to him. And then it came to me. I knew what I would do. I knew exactly what I would do. I would humbly ask him to hire me as one of his workers. I mean, I couldn't really ask for a handout, and I had absolutely no right to ask him to take me back as his son. But maybe he'd let me work for him. Just maybe.
Maybe today will be the day he returns. And that's the thought that ran through my head every day. Maybe today will be that day I see him returning home.
Home. Man, that's a word that describes so many good things. Comfort, care, security, acceptance, love. And now, well, now it's just a few hundred yards away from all that.
As I recall, it was a beautiful day. I was sitting there on the porch enjoying a good cup of coffee, and man, that's when I thought I seen him.
He stood up out of his chair and he looked in my direction. And I wonder what he was thinking. I wonder how he felt about me. Was he still mad? Would he tell me I told you so?
Hey, look there. I told you. I believe that's my son right there returning. None of you would listen to me, but I knew he would return.
And I knew he was going to be angry. Closer and closer, every single step I took towards that house, the more I realized that I made the wrong decision. So I stopped.
He stopped, and he just stood there.
I couldn't move.
And I couldn't just stand there, so.
So he jumped. I mean, he actually jumped off of the porch. I'd never seen him do anything like that before. He was like a little kid, all excited about something. And then it came to me. He was excited about me. So what did I do?
You know what I did next?
I ran.
Man, my heart was pounding, but that was the only thing I could do was just run to him.
Yeah, I'd never seen him run so fast. I wonder if he hurt himself.
I tried shouting, but you know, he was still too far off to hear me, but we kept running towards each other, and man, I just wanted him to jump into my arms like he used to do when he was a little baby, and that way I could let him know, hey, everything's going to be all right. And as he got closer, I could see that there were tears running down his face.
He was crying.
But these were tears of joy, you know. And you know what my son did next? He actually jumped.
I jumped. I mean, I couldn't believe it either. I was so excited. I was so scared. So I jumped. And my father...
I caught him. I mean, he's a little heavier than he was, but I caught him anyway. And then?
And then he hugged me. I mean, my father hugged me like only really a father could. I'm so sorry, I told him. Please forgive me. I don't deserve to be called your son.
But my son is exactly what you are. And you over there, let's get some clean clothes for him. And you, let's find some shoes and get on his feet. And the rest of you, let's prepare a feast. For my son is no longer lost. And today, we shall celebrate, for all my hopes have come true.
And I guess all this time, it was a hope that really kept me going. The hope that one day my father would have mercy on me. I hope that in some day he would just take me back. I hope that all of my stupid little mistakes would just be forgiven.
Everything's forgiven, all right. There's no blame. There's no anger. There's nothing but joy left in my heart, and I'll never bring it up again. For my son was lost, but now he's found.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Well, praise God. Amen. God is good, church. I'm glad you're here today on our Easter comeback. Boy, this service has been prayed about. We've been led. We feel as though God is speaking to a culture of people that need to hear that God wants you back. That God has pursued you and God will never stop pursuing you. I remember as a story, the skit reminded me of a story by Abraham Lincoln. And Abraham Lincoln asked the question, he said, what are you going to do about all those Confederate soldiers once the Civil War is over? Expecting vengeance and even thoughts of execution because of treason, Lincoln surprised all of them by saying, "I will treat them as if they've never been away." I believe that's what God does for us when we are with Him. And that there are times in our life that we stray and go off the beaten path. And coming back is difficult. Coming back's hard. But God loves a comeback. Somebody say amen. I love a comeback. You guys love a comeback? If you go and check out comebacks, you're going to see a lot of things on the internet. And if you're interested in sports, there's a great comeback. I can't stand golf. I don't like it. Some people do. But in 1986, Jack Nicholson had the greatest comeback golf world has ever seen. Apparently, there's something called the Masters. And he was behind, I believe, 7 strokes, and he made it up on the back of the 9. And they said that's nothing like that has ever happened in golf. Which to me, nothing has ever happened in golf. But I love a comeback. We love comebacks here in Kansas. If I remember, it was the Royals in Game 5 of the American League. And the Astros had us beat. We were out, what were we down, by 4 runs? 4 runs, I believe. And we had to make them up. By the 8th inning, we made them all up. And during that time, the governor of Texas was so convinced that the Astros were going to win that he tweeted, "Congratulations, Houston Astros," which immediately was erased as soon as the deficit of the Royals was accompanied for. And then they scored 2 more runs. That's a comeback. How many of you watched the 2015 World Series? My goodness, what a comeback. Tied the game. It was what? Salvador Perez, I remember it like it was yesterday. Hosmer was on third. Salvador Perez hit the ball to third. There was a look to third, and I believe it was Dud who threw it. It got thrown to first, and then Dud saw Hosmer running home, and he threw it, and it was off by a mile, and it tied the game, and we had 3 more innings, and we won the World Series. You don't remember that? Oh, man, I almost tore up my living room. Man, we love a comeback, and I'm a Denver Bronco fan, so not as much as I used to be, but I am. And John Elway has 47 comeback wins. It's the most in any NFL history. And I guess I got to mention the Kansas City Chiefs. They had somewhat of a comeback in 2019, wasn't it? Didn't they come back 2 games? Come back from the Houston. Yeah, go ahead, give them a hand. Houston Titans, and then they had the Tennessee. They came back from the Indian. I guess it was in the Super Bowl that they were down by, 10 with 6 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and some nobody named, Patrick Mahomes or something? Did a comeback. One of the most recent comebacks that's dear to me is the greatest NCAA deficit. Comeback from the greatest deficit was KU. If you watched that national championship, oh my goodness. I'll be honest with you. In 2008, I went through it. They were down by 15 at the second half. I turned off my TV. I was depressed. Isn't that terrible? I turned on my TV just to see the points, and all of a sudden I saw them climbing back. And then I watched the whole game, and when they won, I went crazy, woke up my kids, my wife and me are celebrating and dancing, and because comebacks cause for a celebration, somebody say amen. Amen. So this one, I didn't watch it at all. I watched it until I started losing. I never turned it back on. Yeah. But when I turned it back on, I found out that they had the biggest deficit. They made up for the biggest deficit and had the biggest comeback in NCAA history. Man, I begin to realize that comebacks are what we need. Comebacks are what brings people together. Comebacks are what God is into when we feel as though there's no way we're going to win, no way they're going to turn this around, there's no way this thing is going to happen. And God, in his miracle-working way, makes a way where there is no way. Somebody say amen to that. You are part of a comeback. I don't know if you know that, but we got a tomb, and we got a stone, and we got somebody, the Bible says, who was dead and buried in a tomb, and all hell rejoiced. There's no coming back from that. Not in the natural. There's no coming back from being dead and in a tomb for 3 days. But God, in his comeback ways, creates supernatural avenues in which you and I can make it back when we feel like we've been finished. And some of you today, maybe you've left church, and maybe you've been out of the mix, maybe for whatever reason. I mean, there's a lot of reasons why people start church. Maybe there's a crisis in your life. I know that's when I came to the Lord. I was down. I was depressed. I was suicidal. I didn't have a lot going on. I went to a tent revival in 1992, listened to a preacher speak, listened to him talk about how God can change a life, listened to him talk about how the Holy Spirit can move into a life and give them victory over sin and joy. And I remember sitting there feeling like the biggest underdog and feeling like the biggest loser I've ever felt. I just felt terrible. I just wanted to die. Matter of fact, if God wouldn't have saved me that day and I wouldn't have had the breakthrough that I did that day, I probably wouldn't be here, because I didn't want to live not the way that I was living. And I didn't know how to get out of it. And in 1992, God made himself known to me as I sat there in a tent and heard scripture and heard the preacher, and a voice spoke to me and said, Ed, you've tried everything. You tried the drugs, you tried the lifestyle, you tried everything in your life, and nothing has worked, and you left empty. And I sat there in that chair and I listened to that voice, and the voice spoke another thing. He challenged me. He said, Ed, go up to the front and give Jesus a try, and if it doesn't work, do what you want. The tune couldn't even hold him. That's what that's for. We did it. I couldn't live anymore like I was. And I came up to the front and I bowed my head and I did what the preacher man said. He said, say this prayer after me. Church, and I want to tell you something. It sounds simple and it sounds like it's make-believe, but in all reality, it's the best thing that ever happened to me. And I don't know how to explain it. I don't know how to tell you how it happened. All I know is I repented that day in 1992, and I asked God to take my life, and God did. He met me in a way that nobody else has ever done before. I've been through 2 treatment centers. I've been through counseling services. I've been through, since I was 7 years old, they knew I was crazy. It's still, the verdict hasn't came in yet today, but I was messed up. I was messed up, man. I was so dark, and it was so dark in my life and so dark in my heart. And even at a young age, I knew the darkness. I could taste the darkness. The despair was not, I could feel it almost. All through schools, getting a petition to have me kicked out of school when I was in the 4th grade. I was a bully. I was in trouble. I was in the court systems. I'm not even exaggerating. If I could tell you the stories, you probably wouldn't believe them. I did boys' homes, and nothing worked. I'm going to tell you something. Nothing worked. I did these little moments where I would even go to church with somebody, and I would say a sinner's prayer, and for about a week it worked. For about a week, things just seemed good for me. And then after about a week, I fell right back into the same lifestyle, right back into the same hate, right back into the same emotions, right back into the same depression, and I didn't know how to get out. I've given up on everything and given up on God. The only reason I went to this church thing is because the courts made me go. Hey, man, as long as you get there, Someone say amen. Some people go for worse reasons. I mean, I know some people go to meet a girl. Someone say amen. That's why Alden showed up here. I don't care why you go, because when you're there, God's got an opportunity to do something great in your life, because when you're there, you seem to be more open there than you are at home. I believe there's a reason why the Apostle Paul said, listen, when people are in rebellion in the church, kick them out of the church so that, Satan can attack them and teach them to live right. Why does he tell them to leave the church? Because I believe the church offers a protection and a covering even in those that are deep in sin. So when I came into that church, something different was about. I was open. I was more receptive. It was not an Easter service, but it was, might as well have been. And when I heard the gospel and I heard the hope and I heard the truth, it stopped being words from a man, and something began to connect with my spirit, and I couldn't stop listening. I couldn't. I mean, it was crazy. I was on the edge of my seat. I was listening. My pastor was a lunatic. He was a charismatic lunatic. But God knew I needed that. He knew I couldn't listen to somebody who had this low-toned voice and somebody who was serious. And I don't have a problem with that, but I just couldn't do it. It reminded me too much of school. And I listened. When I was in school, I got most of my information out in the hallway. Someone say amen. Out in the hallway in a cased-in panel. That's not a joke, man. That's true. His pastor comes in, he starts dancing and starts shouting and starts overjoying himself. And I didn't know what was going on. I thought, what did I walk into? What did I walk into? I was an underdog, man. Nobody had a chance. Nobody had a hope for me. Nobody gave me anything. My high school teacher told me, everything you do, Mathis, you're going to have to work extra hard at it, harder than anybody else will. That's encouraging. I was like, man, I don't even like working half hard. I got to work harder than everybody else. And that's my thoughts. That was where I was at. When I heard that gospel preached to me, and I heard the challenge, and I came up to the front, watch this. And I came up to the front, I bowed my head, and I said, God, why do you hate me? I said, God, why am I from brokenness? Why can't I change? Why am I the one that's always in trouble? Why am I the one that's always singled out? God, why does the world reject me? Why do you reject me? And all of a sudden in my mind, I saw these visions of the group, the crowd, and me being singled out of the crowd. And I want to tell you something that happened all the time when I was in school, all the time when I was in culture. I was the one that got the charges. I was the one that got the detention. I was the one that got the fines. And even though there was five people involved, I was the one who had to carry it. I started believing God hated me. I want to tell you something, man. I believed he literally hated me. So here I am at the front, and I'm kind of mad. I said, finally, we can talk. You've been bugging me, man. What are you doing to me? Are you tormenting me? I'm going to come up here and I'm going to give you, I'm going to open myself up to you, and you're going to drop me like everybody else has. And all of a sudden, I bow my head. I want you to hear me. I want you to hear me right now. If there's ever a time to listen to me, it's right now. It's every time to put your hand over your kids' mouths is right now. Listen to me. The Holy Spirit, here's what happened. God showed me that picture of all the chaos in my life. And he showed me how I was away from the crowd and how I held the bag and how I held the burden. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and it's the first time in my life I heard God speak. He said, Ed, my name, woo! He said, Ed, in your life, those moments was not my hate. It was my pursuit. It was my love. I was separating you from the rest to show you that I will give you and I will do for you and nobody else can. It wasn't my hate. It was my love. That was just said over and over again. It wasn't my hate. It was my love. And all of a sudden, something broke inside of me and crumbled. And I weeped like I'd never weeped before. And I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And at that moment, everything changed. I want to tell you, and I don't say that with exaggeration. I wasn't from religion. I wasn't from charismatic. I wasn't from any church at all. I didn't know the mannerisms. I didn't know how to give myself into a courtesy fall. But what happened that night is when I opened up my eyes from weeping, I was laying on my back. And I don't even remember falling. I don't even remember what happened. I got up and I shook my head and I said, "What's going on?" Just like anybody else would, you like, "Who tripped me? What happened?" You know, I thought maybe, I probably didn't think that, but there was a possibility that, you know, when you was a kid, your friend was in front of you and you got down on your hands and knees behind your friend and they pushed you over. You know, I thought maybe somebody's messing with me like that. And all of a sudden the voice of God spoke to me and he said, "How do you feel? How do you feel, Ed?" And I said, I felt. Like literally 100 pounds was lifted up. The burden and the weight and the despair was literally gone. And I said, "I don't know what happened to me, but I'm so desperate for change, I'll take it. If it means I have to fall on my back every time I come into a church, I'll take it, because living the way I've been living, I can't continue to do it." I said, "I don't know what happened to me, but whatever it is, I want it." And church, that night, everything changed. Everything. I went out to eat. I had cigarettes. I gave my cigarettes to the altar, which at the time, when I got done eating, I was like, "I got to smoke. If you ever smoke, that's what you do." And I walked, I was getting ready to walk. I was at Grandma Max's, if you remember that place. Walking to the bathroom, and I was getting ready to ask somebody for a cigarette. And the Holy Spirit spoke and says, "You don't have to do that anymore." Church, listen, he said, "You don't have to do that." He didn't say don't. He didn't say you sinner. He didn't say you're going to go to hell if you did. He just said, "I freed you from that, and you don't have to go back." And I just said, "Okay, I'll smoke when I really want to." And you know what? God broke it. I never wanted to. Now, that sounds maybe untraditional. You'll smoke when you want to. I want to tell you something. If God does a work in your heart and a work of grace, you don't want to do the things you used to do. You don't want to do them anymore. You say, "Pastor, I'm here today, and I want to do those things, but I want God too, and I don't know how to let those things go, and I don't know how to do it." I want to tell you what happened. You just heard a story of a man who was in a faraway country. He was with his father. He asked to take... "Give me everything. Give me the life. Give me the world. I want to go out on my own." And so many of us do that. We can do it on our own. We don't need any church. We don't need anybody. We don't need people standing in our way. And we do that. When we do that, we begin slowly to crumble. Things begin to just crumble. Just like that boy did. And he came. Listen, here's what happened. He decided. He woke up. He said, "I don't want to live like this anymore. I don't want to live like this anymore. I want to go back home. I want to go home. I want to go to church. I want to go with my mom, but back to where my mom used to talk about. I want to go to those times where my mom or my dad used to drag me to Sunday school, drag me to church. I want to go back to that. I want to go back to a place where I feel accepted and I feel welcomed and I feel empowered. I want to go back home, or to a place called home. I don't even know what home means, but I know that there's a desire in my heart to go somewhere where I belong." And here's what he did. Here's the trick. He still stunk like a pig. He'd been in the pig fold. He was still shoddy looking. He was still pretty beat up. He didn't try to speak. He worked on a speech. "I'm going to go back home, and I'm going to tell my father this. I got this speech made. I got this prayer made up. I got this plan that I'm going to live for God. And so I'm going to go to church. I'm going to live for God. I got this plan." And guess what happened? He was on his way back, and the father saw him. You know why the father saw him? Because he was looking for him. Because he was welcoming him. You know what made the church mad back in the days of Jesus? The Pharisees, the religious? He says he welcomes sinners. That's Jesus, man. He welcomes the broken, and he welcomes the addicted, and he welcomes the depressed, and he welcomes the impossible, and he says, "Come unto me, and I'll fix what nobody else can." So the daddy came, and here's what happened. All he did, he didn't have to say a speech. His plan, his strategy for coming back, his strategy for doing right, his strategy to convince his father that everything's going to be okay, he's good now. He didn't have to say it. His father didn't let him say it. his father jumped up and got him. You know why? Because you can't make this trip unless Jesus comes and gets you. And you're here today, not because you said it's Easter and I'm waking up and I'm going to go to church. You're here today because a power greater than you put something in your heart and pulled you into this building, because that's Jesus and he's got something to say. He wants you. He's pulling you to himself, and all you got to do is, you don't have to have a plan. You just got to come. That's all he did. He just came. He just came. I can do that. Come unto me, all you who are thirsty and hungry. I know what thirst feels like. Are you saying it's my deficits that qualify me for you, God? Realizing that I'm in need is all I have to have. All right, what if I don't quit? What if I mess up? What if I still smoke? What if I still use? What if I still live in that lifestyle? Listen to you. All right, I got to tell you this. Just come to him. He'll do it. He'll work on you. But you'll do, you can, the first step is said, I'm coming back. I'm coming to God. I'm coming to him because he's calling me. And I got to tell you, he's calling you right now. I'm telling you right now, listen to me, Easter Bunch. He's calling you right now. This is it. You may have never known him, but he knows you. And he has a plan for your life. And you may be just like me, a 17-year-old kid who didn't know left from right and didn't know how to live right. And God found me and God knew me. And God had been messing with me my whole life to try to get me to a knee, to try to get me to realize he's all I need. Maybe that's you. I don't know God. I don't know home. But I know that something's missing in my life. And I know that I'm here today and I shouldn't be. I really shouldn't be. Maybe I haven't. Listen, I've been a loser my whole life, so a comeback is real appropriate for me. Maybe it's you. Maybe you have been to church. You have been with God, and you're like the lost coin that the woman speaks about in Luke 15. She just lost it. She just lost it. She lost track of it. Sometimes we're in the church, and we just get busy, and people lose track of us, and the church doesn't look for us, and the pursuit isn't there, and we just kind of grow apart, and then all of a sudden, we just start believing that that's how God is. And he's just uninterested in us. And I'm going to say, I'm sorry for the church not pursuing and taking care of. I'm sorry for you coming into the church and having an experience and then the church leaving you. I'm sorry for that. That's not what the church should do. But that's not what Jesus does, I promise you. You know how I know that? Because he spoke and you're here. And I believe God spoke to us to bring you here. And I believe this service and this message and this testimony is for you. You want to come back? You don't have to have it all figured out. You just have to go home. And he'll meet you. The Bible says, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. Just come. I want the worship team to come as we close out. And church, I want you to understand the heart of the Father above anything else. He's a pursuing God. He's a God that will meet you. He will. He won't let you down. I promise. I promise. You can't do nothing bad enough. You can't. You can't. The enemy's voice is what keeps us away from God. I've talked to somebody the other day just on the way out. We had this little group going on, and this individual asked me if I was a pastor. I told him I was, and I don't even know if he's here today, but he said, you know, I've been away from God, and I just don't feel like, I feel like God's mad at me, and I don't know how to come back. I said, first of all, God, he's not mad at you. The devil's mad at you. The devil hates you. The devil wants to keep you away from God. And I said, any voice that pushes you away from the church and away from Christ is not of God. You say, well, I messed up, and I've said, I'm sorry 100 times. God's surely mad at me. No, he isn't. He says, come and keep coming. Come and keep coming. Read my shirt. It says, the righteous fall, but they get back up, and they keep coming. That's what you do in Christianity. You ain't perfect. You're promised to be forgiven. That's it. You're not perfect. But God is. And he is perfect. He has a perfect plan for you. It's right now. It's right now. This morning, before you leave, I challenge you. I challenge you to come. I challenge you to come. We like to give away little things so you remember. This is, you know, the comeback, so scratch your back. So every time. But this morning, I believe that there's a testimony in these things today. I believe that people are going to receive something new in their life, and this comeback is going to be a testimony. It's not going to be just a back scratcher. It's going to be a spiritual altar, a spiritual significance for your life that says that day on April 17, 2022, I believed the word of God. I believed that what the pastor was speaking was true, and I came to Jesus, and when I did, everything changed. That's what I did. I just want the lights down low just for a moment. Leave the stage lights on. Leave one side on for me. And I want to ask you to say a prayer with me. And then we're going to close here in a minute. I'm going to give away two things. We got that taken care of. But let's take care of business right here. With every head bowed and every eye closed in this place, and the lights are down, so nobody's watching, nobody's looking for you, nobody's wondering if you're more spiritual or less spiritual. I thought you were spiritual. Why are you standing? Why are you raising your hand? Nobody's doing that today. Today's the day that you get to come back. Today's the day that you get to come back to your destiny. You get to come back to your people. You get to come back to your spiritual plan that God has for you. If that's you today and you say, God's speaking to me right now and I need your prayer, Pastor, will you stand to your feet and let me pray with you? Hallelujah. 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 That's it. Just keep standing. That's it. Just stay standing. Stay standing. Stay standing. In this place, say, God bless you. Come on. Let the Holy Spirit speak. This is where you're hearing God right now, and there's just going to be a war going to go on. It's going to tell you, no, no, don't do it. Don't do it. Let me tell you something. That's the enemy. Remember, anything that keeps you out of God is not of God. You know your life, and you know what he's been speaking. And you know today's the day for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just stay standing. I'm going to pray. Holy Spirit. Those that are stood, they're representing more than just two legs standing, two feet standing. They're representing a desire and a hunger for you. And Jesus, some of them have known you and have slid away, but God, you say to them, I've never left you and I never forsake you. I've been with you. You could testify to that because you've been at places you shouldn't have been, and the last person you wanted to talk to you was God, and he did. He did. You didn't like it because you weren't in the right place at the right time, but he spoke to you because he loves you, and he never will give up on you. That's you. This morning, you have never come to him. Father, they have never come to him. Will you say this with me? Jesus, I know I'm a sinner in need of grace. I've broken every law. Every law you've placed in my life, every commandment you've given, doesn't matter if I broke one. The Bible says I broke them all. You broke one, you broke them all. And I know the only way to pay for sin is through judgment. It's through punishment. And your punishment says this, the wages of sin is death. And I don't want to die. I don't want to die. I want to change. That's what I want. I want to change. And Jesus, I know that you died for me so I won't have to. I know that you were judged for me when I deserved it. And because of that, I believe in you. Will you say it with me? Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died for my sins. I believe you were judged for me. And I believe you rose again. If you rose again, you're alive. You're alive. And I can talk to you. And I can count on you. And I can expect from you. And you're my ever-present help. Come on. You're my ever-present help in every time of my need. Hallelujah. 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 There's the Holy Spirit. Just begin to receive that right now. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands and receive that. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Oh, I believe there's real conversion happening here right now. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand this morning. Give the Lord a hand. That simple prayer is more. That simple prayer is not words from lips. That's a spiritual message to your heart this morning. And if you meant that prayer, and I believe you did, Listen, we got something to give to you after church. We have some Bibles that we want to give to you. We got some handouts we want to give to you. Make sure you get them. So just stick around just for a moment after that. We got some little New Testaments we want to give to you. We want to introduce ourselves to you. Hallelujah. Just stick around. If you wait till the back, that's fine. I just want to introduce myself to you. God bless you and thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. God is good, church. Amen. Amen.